Good morning, everyone. So today we'll have the face-to-face session for introduction to e-commerce. So our topics for today is the Cyberpreneur Plan. So just a brief background on this. This is a new book that is coming out October 25. It'll be launched in Fully Book. I have a chapter on this. I discussed on the book a quick planning framework for cyber businesses, online businesses, and e-commerce businesses. So this is the framework. These 9 boxes, which describes the basic dimensions of a cyber business. This is not the formal type of business plan, which has marketing, finance, operations, and all other formal businesses dimensions. This is for a quick iteration business planning for online businesses. As we all know, having an online business is now easy and it's now cheap because of the technology. So as I mentioned, this is a cyberpreneur plan. The focus on this planning framework is the entrepreneur. The cyberpreneur, which the book coined, is entrepreneur for online businesses. So every online business is fueled by its entrepreneur. Every great business deals with a huge amount of uncertainty. So for a online business to succeed, the entrepreneur should be equipped with an advocacy. So advocacy is, on my personal definition, starts with first just a hobby. So I started e-commerce just by blogging things, and eventually evolved into something big. It also deals with your passion, maybe. And more importantly, it's about change in the society. So every business should start with this foundation. It's your advocacy. We have each other's advocacy, other interests. So depends on what your advocacy is. That is your foundation for your business. It could be based on your profession, based on your career. As long as you have the guts to change something in our society for a better world. So fairly big words, but that is business should be a sustainable business. How to have that advocacy in you? This is my favorite framework from Simon Sinek. This is the golden circle. You see the what, the how, the why circles. Businesses now have usually tells what they do. So you can see we are the number one. We have this feature. We have this new product for the market, for you. That is the what level. And the how level is how they do it, the strategy. So we have this new product to because we are want to some maybe strategy of low, because we are the low cost producer, we are producing this kind of product. But the more important premise of any business should be the why, because research tells us that people buy not what you do, but why you do it. So the famous example on this framework is the Apple example. So because they want to change the world through innovation. They provided new iPad, iPhone, and other innovative stuff. So if you translate that to maybe another brand, maybe Dell or other gadget producing firm, if they produce similar iPad, you won't buy it because you are not an advocate of innovation and change. So that is how you explain the golden circle. Because you have an advocacy, you want change in our society, basically you will find gaps. Gaps in which you have some idea to plug into that gap. So the next step on this framework in business modeling is stating the problem within that advocacy. Most businesses starts with an idea, which is not the most usual, or the every entrepreneur starts with an idea. But research tells us, again, starting with an idea usually doesn't succeed. Because one, you didn't have any market or any need to pursue that idea. We have full of bias an entrepreneur, and what he or she thinks doesn't really translate to the market. Better way to build a business on is problems. So where can I find important problems worth solving? So when I started blogging, and which is could be a career, I started it as just a hobby. So I write anything, everything about everyday life. So, and my goal is to monetize the articles. But as I learned along the way, that is not the best way to start a blog. So when I took masters in UP Diliman, I had problems on how to review on the general graduate program admissions test. So I created articles on that, and from there, apparently, every other MBA aspirant have a problem on that, how to find the best reviewers. So if you can see on my blog statistics, that three articles has the most traffic on my blog. The other 50 articles has zero, almost zero traffic. So finding problems is difficult than having that idea. Medyo madali magka-idea. And problems that is worth building business on is difficult. And it should be, because finding that is your ticket to success. Next one is having that problem. You will now have to pinpoint what customers you're targeting. So according to the diffusion of innovation theory, the population is divided into five categories: the innovators, the early adopters, the early majority, late majority, and laggards. So basically, this theory says that only 2.5% creates new businesses through innovations. The early adopters are the ones who try new things. ito po yung taong kahit lalabas na yung iPhone the following week, pipila pa rin siya ngayon. So, merong mga ganong tao na what we call early adopters. So, the early majority, they will try new things if early adopters tried it and became fans. The early majority became fan of the new business, new product, or new service. Late majority, ito na force na because hit na yung product or service. And the laggards, ito yung resistant to change. So, this theory tells us that if you want to succeed, you have to have an early adopters. That is reviewing your product or service great. And if you pass that 13.5%, you are primed for the early majority success. What is the use for that theory? It gives us the importance of customer segmentation. Customer segmentation tells us that we need to find that niche or that focus group that the probability of that success is the highest. What are the basic sources of or ways to segment the market? We have the four basic segmentation ways. First is the geographical way, the continent, country, region, city, population, maybe station, MRT station, maybe city area. Next one is the demographic, age, gender, family, family size, occupation, income, education, religion, race, maybe nationality. The other one is psychographic. This is more on the implied characteristics, which is lifestyle, social class, the activity interest, personal values, attitudes. I think this is before the advent of social media. Medyo mahirap pinpoint exactly these types of customers. But now, we can just scan the internet, their social profile, and you can pinpoint exactly. And you can see now, I've been trying the Facebook ads lately. You can target specific characteristic. For example, we had a campaign in the office for a military loan product. We pinpointed people that like guns. So exactly, the ad will show up on that type of person. The last one is behavioral. We can segment or classify customers based on occasion, degree of loyalty, benefits, maybe usage of a certain product or service, readiness, and user status based on their online profiles. So, we had advocacy, the problem based on that advocacy, and the customer target. Now, we are ready to create a solution. Solution to address that problem, that need. So, how to create that solution? This is the, I think, a revolutionary way to define solution-based thinking. Is design thinking. Before, as I was taught in the business school, mostly the literary work is on providing innovation through business and viability and feasibility of the solution or the product. But design thinking incorporates the empathy of the people, the emotions. So it involves humans, the perspective, the 360 view. And if you will look at the design thinking in a more visual way, it's the cross between business, the viability, as I mentioned earlier, the technology, the feasibility of a certain product or service, and the desirability of the people. Before, people is put in the back seat. But before, it's more on process innovation, the manufacturing side of things, and how to be efficient. But now, it's more on being efficient, but at the same time, the desirability is great, as reviewed by real people. Before, focus groups are the in thing. You have 5 or 7 people discuss a product or service, and from that data, you create your product for mass market distribution. But now, it's more on the one-on-one interview, the intimate intimate discussion of real problems, the minute problems, which can be unbundled into several business opportunities. So the basic solution-based thinking framework for design thinking is, first, you need to empathize with the people. Because as the model suggests, we have the advocacy, we have the problem, and the customers. So the solution should be based on the problems that is borne by the customers. So from that, you will define what the real problem is. Einstein, my favorite quote from him, he said, if you have 1 hour to solve a problem, you devote 55 minutes to define the problem and 5 minutes to create the solution. So basically, solution-based thinking is devoting much time on defining the problem. And the ideas will come as you define it. So you need to empathize, define, and ideate. And from that idea of the solution for your problems, the problems of your customers, it's not on the first version of your business. It's more on how you launch it and learn from the customer reviews, customer feedback, and other validations that you can have with your target customers. And the different thing in design thinking as compared to the standard business theories is it involves testing. We are used to have the scientific approach. We'll define the specific problem at the very specific problem and have a solution at the end. One solution, and that's it. Design thinking is creating a solution, a prototype, testing it, and eventually iterating it into most online businesses. Entrepreneurs says that on the 58th or 59th version of their business, they will succeed because they integrated all other customer reviews, validations, feedback that they can have. So at the next part of the discussion, I will try to have a solution which is a basic website. The next part of the planning framework is the impact. Impact is you have your solution. How can it impact or how can it benefit your customers to realize your advocacy? So basically, the framework is a system thinking approach wherein your solution is your answer to what you want to the world be or your advocacy be. So if you will see the framework, the impact, your unique benefit worth paying is at the center and at the heart of the framework. It affects both advocacy and the customer. It's your unique benefit to your market and for yourself, for your advocacy. And that impact can be summarized as the unique value proposition, which can be defined simply as a formula, which is end benefit, if you want, time constraint, and you should have addressed the objection. It's that formula can easily be illustrated by some examples. So Meeting Burner is a webinar application, a webinar web application. So their unique value proposition, this is the message to their customers and how they can answer that their problem. It's to host an online meeting or webinar. It's fast, which is the time, and it's free to address the objection. So we now go to a brick and mortar store para naman hindi lang online. So sa Pizza Hut, so their end benefit, hot fresh pizza, time constraint in 30 minutes, and to address that objection or else it's free. So from this campaign alone, dito sumikat yung Pizza Hut delivery nila sa within Philippines. And the last, Square is a payment application platform. So their unique value proposition is start accepting credit cards today, the end benefit and the time, sign up and we'll mail you a free reader. Free reader, yung Square is kinakabit po siya sa smartphone. And then you can swipe your credit card. Pwede na po kayo mag-accept ng credit card payments for every store. Meron na pong ganyan. Later, I will explain the new Globe and Smart app. So, we now go to the revenue because the impact is your unique benefit worth paying. Now, you have to charge your customers for that benefit. And revenue is a function of price, and I think price is more of an art than science. There are different ways to charge price, and the basic ones are cost-based, the competition-based, and the value-based pricing. Cost-based is, if you have, example, this laptop, cost to produce is maybe 1,000 pesos, for example. You just add a percentage, 10%, so you have 1,100. So that's your price. Competition-based, if you have this laptop, your competitor charge around 2,000, then you charge 2,000 plus or minus a certain percentage. That is competition-based. Or you can just head-on clash with that competitor, same price. You just to compete with other aspects. And the last is the value-based pricing. In online businesses, in my opinion, value-based pricing is the best option to take. Why? Because the impact is the willingness to pay of every customer. If their problem is so painful that they need an application or a service to do that, they will pay you as anything they like because you solve their problem. Every customer doesn't really matter with their every customer doesn't really bother with the price. It's more on their primary concern is how to solve their problems. It's not what's the price, what's the product, what's your solution. It's how they solve their problems. That's simple as this. So, based on the solution-based thinking or design thinking, you can have an idea how to charge based on the one-on-one interviews. So, that's why in our course, I had an assignment wherein you need to interview at least 3 people and discuss your solution. Kahit hindi pa nagagawa yung solution, discussion lang. You'll have that idea if your assumption of that solution would address their problem. So from that, nasolve yun na yung one part of the risk, which is the product risk. So that is the pricing types. Now, every revenue has a counterpart, which is the cost. So how much funding will you need for that solution or for the whole business in general? In online businesses, this is from my experience, expected cost of any online business. First is the solution. One, you need to buy a domain, obviously. The .com, which is around 500 to 600. And expensive as the type of word used is desirable. Next is the hosting. This is similar to the hard drive of every computer. So now we can have a server in other parts of the country and you conduct your online business here. So you can now have that option. And last is the customization. You have that domain, you have the hosting, you will install some software. If you are a IT professional or a technical professional, that matter, you can customize it for your own use. But if you're just a typical one, you need to customize your website to suit your solution, your needs for addressing the problem of your customers. So this is the fairly medyo mahal ang customization. Around, you can find the cheap ones around 30,000. But there are ways to create to go around this. Next is the growth. You have that your solution, you need to market it. You need to push it to people, to your target customer, so that they will know. Kasi kung hindi po nila alam, hindi po talaga nila pupuntahan yung ano, yung online business or any business. Also the content. This is fairly on the brick and mortar stores, different yung operations and sa promotions. Promotions, separate field siya. But in online businesses, content is kasama talaga siya sa website. You can't live without the content. The picture, the content is picture, articles, the write-up, descriptions. That is essential in growth of your online business. If you are a good writer, good designer, this is fairly easy to you. But if you didn't have that talent, you need to outsource it or kailangan nyo ipagawa the content. Because every minute there is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, 2 million blog articles, billion I think, that is created every day. So imagine if your content isn't that great. So most of the time, will not be noticed. So lastly, the operation side, this is the registration of your business. You can have it sole proprietorship, partnership, and corporation. And second is the maintenance of the website. You need to have admin people to check in on sign-ups, the billing if there is, and other posting types and also social media and promotions. Part of the marketing is social media postings, so you need admin for that. But there are several applications that can automate that, but it comes with a price. And lastly, security. You need to have security features on your website. My experience with blogging back in 2010, my college and I started blogging. And then my blog is about reviews of several restaurants, and my colleague is about political topics. So we were host in a same server. So after 3 months, we were hacked, totally wiped all of its content. So imagine your hard work, around 20 articles I created, and it was erased. And I don't have a backup. I don't know the best practice on how to publish. So you need to have a backup, obviously, but I didn't have, because it's just a hobby thing. So it was a lesson for me. So types of security, you can encrypt, or you can have several admin security things which hides the folders of your website, which is a fairly technical thing. Maybe I'll discuss it later. So that is the expected cost. Now, focus on the growth, which is the second bulk of the cost coming from. So growth. Growth is just marketing, basically. But in online businesses, marketing, I'm fairly biased because of the business school concepts I had. Marketing is somewhat rigid. I think growth is more on the how to leverage on what you have. So growth can be classified into two things. First is the organic growth. The marketing aspect, this is not really dwelled into. So organic growth is just doing something that will grow your business without cost. So one is blogs. So just write everything about the features, the service, or the product, and hopefully someone will read it and will point them to your sales pages. And then another one is search engine optimization. You have this is the one wherein you will modify your how you write, how you upload your content, and Google readable or search engine readable aspects of your website, so that if example you have a restaurant directory, and the keyword there is restaurant. If someone will search Google, Bing, Yahoo for the keyword restaurant, the goal of a search engine optimization specialist will ensure that if someone types restaurant, your website will appear on the first three search results, because people won't really go into the second page, or some people will go to the last 10th, 9th, or 8th search result, but mostly top 3. So that is the goal of the search engine optimization specialist. Also, you have electronic books. For me, this is the one I try to pursue. So I have several. One is this one I'm discussing now. This is an electronic book which will be copyrighted by me and will be distributed by a publisher, which will be available in Fully Book. So how ebook work is you have a book, electronic book, and you post it for free. Someone will download it. People will read, and if they are interested, you have links there on what you sell. Basically, it will point directly to your sales pages. And then the videos and podcasts. This is you have some cost, but you don't acquire the customers directly. You pay for the content, the video, the how to record. So videos and podcasts work because some customers really don't really read; they only watch content. Next one is the social media activity. You will see a lot of suggested pages, and also this is not the suggested pages, but this is the organic type, which is the viral articles, the viral sharing in the pages. So that is more on the organic growth, the pages, the links there. Events, talks, lecture. If you are interested in this, you have to go to networking events for several talks, or you will host this type of event, and at the end you'll try to sell. And email newsletters, I know if you come across any website, there is a email collection widget there, which for their newsletter. Basically, that translates into email marketing later. So that is email newsletters. Crowdsourcing is collecting content content from your customers, and the sum of that all content is so much desirable that they will eventually go to your sales pages. One type of this is social media. It's a crowdsourcing when you post everything, you know, every picture you have, and basically people will just scan it. So that's a type of crowdsourcing. Or also you will have the forums, you will share stories or how-tos. Because, for example, you search for a troubleshooting for a computer, most of the time you will land on a forum that tells the experience of everything. That is part of crowdsourcing. They generate content from their customers, not from the writers, the owners of the business itself. So that is crowdsourcing. That is some ways to promote organic growth. And the paid growth is, this is where you pay to have a attention of your customers. So search engine marketing, the difference in this is if you come across a website, you have several ads there, Google Ads, you will see. So they pay for that attention from you. And this is fairly sophisticated advertising. For example, I searched Globe 2 days ago. Most of the time, the ad that will show is either Smart or Globe, because I searched for that keyword. And then it also follows you every website you go. Same ad, paulit-ulit lang siya. That is called, they call it retargeting, because maybe nakalimutan nyo lang bilihin or hindi pa kayo convinced, so they will try to convince you through their ad. Social media marketing is, I mentioned, the suggested pages. Last time I promoted a page, it's around 249 pesos for 10,000 times it will show to what the target customer is. So 200, parang ano lang siya. pagka-scan lang na ganun, lumabas siya, yun na yun. 249. Trimedia advertising, this is more on the traditional advertising. Trimedia, radio, TV, trade shows, text messaging. Meron, sino pong nakakatanggap ng mga ads from, usually sa Globe, maraming ganito. So, one way. Also, you have the telemarketing. People will call you to push several services. Direct paper mail, hindi na, parang wala na ako natatanggap on this type of paid growth na sales, sales related. And contests. Traditional marketing contest is the grandiose raffle of kotse siguro, di ba? But online world, it's about the best photo, the best video, and you have a certain fee, price rather. So that is the paid growth. You can choose any type, but the best practice on how to choose is to know your customer. Because if your customer is not really, it's for example, your customer are mothers, they're not really 24/7 on the internet, so you need a different channel to target them. Maybe contest for their kids so that they will post photos of their children, maybe. So it depends on your target market. There is no best way on how to choose. The best way is gained from your target customers. The last of the framework is the success. This is more on how you define the success of your online business. Most entrepreneurs, guilty rin po ako dito before. I didn't define what success means. Definition is through numbers. What I call is the OMTM, the definition of success. It's one metric that matters. For example, I'll illustrate an example. If you are selling maybe a phone, reselling, if you didn't have that metric, how to measure success and what the target is, kung nakabenta ka ng 1 million sales for a month, di mo alam if you are successful or not. But at the start of your business, you define success as number of units sold and the target is 2 million. You will know if you had that 1 million sale, hindi pa rin siya successful. So, that target is based on your, dito na papasok yung financial side, which is the break-even analysis and your working capital. So, for new businesses, measurement and monitoring is not really on your, parang, di siya priority. So, the best thing to do is just have that one metric to measure success, and that's all, and the target. For modern businesses or big businesses, they have a separate department just to define success, and that is translated to performance management system. But because we are cyberpreneurs and we are having an online business, starting an online business, we don't have that much energy and much resources to monitor success. So, I suggest having that one metric that matters. So, to illustrate again, before, my blog is generating a lot of traffic for that MBA articles. So, what I did is, I created a reviewer, Matt reviewer, and uploaded that in my website. So my goal is conversion rate. A conversion rate is for 100 person that viewed the article, the number of that viewers who downloaded it. So I divide that. So if 50 downloaded the article from that, the reviewer from that article, it's 50% conversion rate. So parang 100 yung nagbasa, 50 yung nag-download ng reviewer. That is the conversion rate. So I targeted 20%. Mataas na siya sa field kasi ang 20%. Usually, yung conversion rate ng mga sales, around 3% mataas na. 3 to 5. Mataas na. So, sa sobrang gulat ko, the conversion rate is 50%. But the traffic is around 100 per day. 100 to 200 per day. Around 50% downloaded my reviewers. But it's free by the reviewers. So, I plan to have a premium reviewer that will charge something. So, this is the Cyberpreneur framework. So, the goal of this framework is not to replace the formal business planning knowledge or the framework that we had. The thick one, that is the on the formal side. The readers of that are creditors, investors, and I think suppliers. But for online businesses, you don't have that that time and resource to do that 50-page or 100-page thick business planning document. And I know, sa dami po nang nagawa akong business plan back in business school. Most of the time, after magawa, wala na siya. Yun na yun. But this one is a dynamic planning tool. And so, for example, you have the first version. You wrote on this. You printed out the template. You wrote on this and implement it, test it. After a few weeks, you learned something that is not acceptable for your customers. So you tweak your model. You print another template and you just scribble your revised version. That's it. And the best thing for this type of planning tool is if you have a team, which is now I have a team of three, we usually brainstorm on this model. We print out and we show our versions of our business plans. And from there, we compare and we discuss. That is the better way to brainstorm than to just brainstorm without any direction. So, part of this framework is the financial analysis and validation guide. The template is the first part is on this 9 boxes plus this section. This is a one pager template. The Kaching financial analysis, basically a break even analysis for online businesses. You can change the number of customers to number of views, maybe, which is your one metric that matters. I just used the number of customers, which is the basic metric for every online business. So you have the number of customers you target, the average price, if you have several product or service, and the revenue, you just multiply it. And then the total cost you will have for that period, you subtract it from the total revenue computed, you'll have the net income for that period. So to have that break even number of customers. You just divide the cost by the price. And if you want the target profit, you add your target profit to the cost and divide it by price. So you will have that customers needed to break even and the number of customers needed to profit, which is a very useful benchmark for your growth plans, which is what type of customer or growth type, organic or inorganic or paid. So this is a simple financial analysis but very powerful for online startups. So now, the last part of the cyberpreneur framework is the validation guide. You need not to follow these questions exactly as it is, but it is a guide on how to manage the risks of your online business. The assumption is every online business or any starting online business, they are going into a world full of uncertainty. So you need to manage the risk. And to manage the risk, you need to validate several assumptions that you written on your business plan or the cyberpreneur plan. So first is constraint one. Is the problem so painful that a solution is worth paying for? So, kung hindi naman, if your idea or your problem is, yes, it is a problem, but people won't pay for it, so why put up a business on that if you can't monetize the problem? So, you need to validate that assumption as early as possible so that you can go out on your business venture as early as possible. So if you go past that, you can know, is the customer segment large and profitable? This is, you won't ask this question at the early part, after the constraint one talaga siya. Because if your customer isn't large or you can't monetize from them, so why hassle again yourself from having that business? Or it's not withdrawing your business, you can divert the attention from a different type of customer that is worth venturing into. So the third constraint is your solution. So maybe the problem is so painful. Example, you have flying cars. Diba? Maraming bibili niyan. Gusto mong bumili kasi hirap mag lumipad sa Cebu Pacific and the delayed. So constraint number two, malaking segment. But constraint three, kaya niyo bang gawin the flying cars? So you need to have a reality check if you can have that solution with you. So constraint four, will the impact support your advocacy? Because we are in a part of the UP Open University, we need to build a business that is sustainable. Sustainable meaning it should have a positive impact on our society and to the environment and to the world, not just business through by having the profit you have. So profit is just a reward, I think, for being successful in addressing a problem. It's not the other way around. You build business because you want profit. You build business to address a problem, to create change, and eventually for being successful in doing that, you will have that profit most of the time, or I think all of the time, if you go into that direction, you will have that profit. And the last is the last constraint is your projected net income too small to pursue. Maybe you will have that revenue and the cost would be too daunting to continue. You should think of it as a warning or a signal that you should explore more different aspects, or you could change your business model into a different direction. So this 5 constraint is a guide to check the risks of your business plan. And the other aspect of this validation guide is you need to ask the why or the reason, bakit. You need to know the root cause of the answer for this problem, because that will be your tool on how to change the direction of your business model. So maybe the problem is not painful, but it is, for example, media articles, blogs, the problem is that painful, but they tweak the model that their target customer is not the readers, but the advertisers. So doing that, by knowing the reason why the problem, the customer, the solution, the impact, and the net income, the reason why they behave like that, is you'll have that that foundation for changing your business model, which is the important learning that you will have as you test and iterate your business. So that is the Cyberpreneur plan. Thank you.